Elle's kiss that morning was hot and cold, swinging between rushes of passion and indifference. She'd been leaning against the white marble counter, scrolling through email messages on her mobile smartphone when I pulled her out of the bathroom and into my arms. She allowed her lips to fall away from mine and then looked at the floor, her silence making me wonder which of my sins she had unearthed. The detachment in her kiss might have had nothing to do with me. I hated the idea. I wanted everything about her to be about me, even if it hurt. Because if the fault was mine, I could correct my missteps and make her happy again. I pulled up her chin with my forefinger and forced her to reconnect with me. "Tell me what you need, Elle." Elle, instead of Ellie, was the version of her name that was mine alone. It had come to me the moment I knew that I truly loved her.
"Nothing, I'm fine, really."
She forced a small smile to her mouth that didn't reach her eyes.
"I just can't seem to push that dream from the other night out of my thoughts, you know?"
Elle called them dreams, but they were relentless nightmares and one of the few things that I couldn't fix. I had taken the only action I could to help her. I'd hired a tenured professor from Cambridge who specialized in cognitive behavioral studies to counsel her in post-traumatic anxiety. One exercise Elle embraced was sending email messages to her dead sister Isabel to express her unresolved feelings. She wrote to her sister, sharing private thoughts whenever she needed to. 8 months earlier, Isabel had lost her life to hitmen dispatched to find and kill Elle. I released her chin and nodded. "I do know."
"You do, don't you?"
she said, lifting her fingertips to my face.
"We have so much to be thankful for, Will. So much opportunity before us."
"Yes, we do," I said. "How about dinner out tonight? Just you and me?"
"We'll get mobbed. The press never misses our date nights. But yes, I would like that. Let your assistant choose the place. Sean's recommendations are always spot on."
A genuine smile hit her lips, touching her cheeks and those eyes.
"You have another busy day, I'm sure, so why don't I come to the office at 7?
She whispered her next words in a teasing tone.
"I'll be the girl in the red dress."
Red was my favorite color on her. "You keep that up and I'll skip my first meeting and tie you to the bed." But I'd never done that, never tied her up for sexual satisfaction. Elle submitted to me in a way that was perfect for us. Submission wasn't something she had known before me, and she was rather inexperienced in bed on the whole, thank Christ. But she had caught on quickly, realizing how well it soothed us both. She'd whispered to me on more than one occasion, her soft words meant to assure me, that when she gave herself over to me, it was like finding her way home. Still, I had drawn an important line not to be crossed with my angel. I needed only for her to be submissive, not to be asubmissive. Her sensual surrender was all it took for me to find a genuine sense of ecstasy, because she was the true source of my desire. From the moment I had first touched her, sex had become about loving her and feeling her rather than dominating her, as I had with other women in the past. But in order for me to feel all of her and not miss the euphoric vibration she was capable of sending deep into my soul, control and submission needed to exist between us. Possessing her body and her soul when I was inside her was that control.
"Hold that thought,"
she said.
"I promise it'll be worth your wait. I don't want to be late for my first visit to the academies this morning, and I still need to get dressed."
Our first business project as a couple was the development of a charitable foundation. It was the perfect corporate venture in which Elle could get her feet wet, and my company would benefit a great deal from the tax relief. The mission for the Hastings Group Children's Foundation was to provide disadvantaged and at-risk children a refuge in the arts, although the board had smartly positioned the nonprofit for future expansion into other areas of support. We denounced our investment in the foundation as the Earl and Countess of Sussex, a title that had belonged to my grandfathers and was now mine, to demonstrate commitment to our pact with the crown to let all things past pass.